First, just three quick announcements. A reminder, as I mentioned, or Father Francisco mentioned last week, that after this Mass, please join us for the parish visioning session. If you had received an invitation but had not been able to attend one of the visioning sessions, just pop over to St. Angela Hall after Mass, and we'll have a short session for you. We want to hear your ideas, and to please do participate in that. Then, as I mentioned also, please read my column. We'll be opening out to the rest of the parish as we go along, but so we need this first. So please do, if you were invited, please do this morning participate in phase two of these visioning sessions. We're preparing a strategic plan for the future of our parish, so this is very important. Secondly, Pentecost is coming, and with that, the Pentecost Novena. And so stuffed in your bulletin is the Novena, tells you what dates to start on. Novena means nine. It covers the nine intervening days between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost Sunday, when the apostles were gathered in prayer. And so we as a parish will pray this. You can pray it at home, you can bring it here and pray, but we will pray it together as a family. It's a very powerful Novena. I've often said that if I were a doctor, this is what I would prescribe to every patient. And thirdly, this Tuesday is our parish feast day, the Feast of Mary, Help of Christians. So I encourage you, please come to Mass. We will have 6:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. Mass in Old St. Mary's, and the one at 5:30 will have special music. We also have the school Mass will be moved to that day. That's Tuesday at 8:20 here in the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I wanted to speak just briefly a bit about the recent ordination of our new bishop and how our readings today coincide with that. We see in that first reading, and if you read right before that, how Paul and Barnabas and the other apostles, you read in St. Paul's letters, they were going around and appointing these bishops. They were appointing these people that we call today bishops in order to lead these new communities. This connects us to what has just happened in our diocese, the appointment by Pope Francis of our new bishop, Bishop Jacques Faube. The appointment as bishop, which is a successor to the apostles, comes through what is called a mandate. It's a mandate from the apostles and their successors. In the passage that we heard from Acts today, the apostles mention the actual word mandate and the importance that a mandate come from them in order to teach the faith. So there's no confusion. So there's no disunity. So to preserve our unity as one church, even today, 2,000 years later, in order for a new bishop to take office and be ordained, he must have a mandate from the Pope himself. Now, if you watched the ordination on May 13th, just a little while ago, for our new bishop, you will have noticed at that one and at every one that you will see, the Pope's representative, an archbishop called the Papal Nuncio, he read aloud the actual handwritten mandate from Pope Francis, appointing Bishop Faube as the 14th Bishop of Charleston. And then, what you saw, all of the bishops that were present there at the ordination came and laid their hands on him. This is an ancient gesture that we read about, the same action, that laying on of hands in prayer in several places in the New Testament. This is how they did this appointing. And what a blessing is that literally an unbroken line of that laying on of hands in that prayer for 2,000 years of unity. Now, without this unity, we would have the situation that is being described in the first reading. So listen again, quote, "We have heard that some of our number who went out without a mandate from us, have upset you with their teachings and disturbed your peace of mind. Friends, when it comes to the faith, you and I don't want a bunch of different things all around. Jesus is God. No, he's not God. He's somewhere in between. We need to know what the truth is. And so we can have that, knowing that the apostles have commissioned someone, in our case now, 2,000 years later being commissioned, so that our peace of mind is not disturbed. The faith is that important. Without the assurance of this unity, each person becomes his own pope or his or her own religion. But Jesus founded one church. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, not churches. And we're called then to lead and help foster unity. Now, with this mandate, we become truly one body. Or in the words of St. Paul to the Ephesians, one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's the reason that this summer, when you get to go on vacation, right, and you go to Mass on vacation, you can go to any Catholic parish in the world, and you will feel that unity of belief. You will feel at home. You can feel at home. So please pray for our new bishop. Being a bishop is considered a burden. They actually call it a burden of office. But it's one that is taken on in love. He's done it out of love for us, just like Christ did for his bride, the church. And that love is what we'll talk about next. In the gospel, Jesus outlines what it means to love him. He says, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Now, you and I should see these words of Jesus less like some rule book and more like a statement of the obvious. This is how it looks to love Christ. That is how not to do it. Those who love Christ simply want to be close to him. They want to dwell with him. And because we want to be close to him, we also want to follow him, to listen to him. We desire to do what he does, to say what he says. Now, you and I know this already. It's very instinctual. Now, when you love someone, you want to be close to them. You who are married here today, you're probably sitting next to your spouse. You want to be close to the person. But think especially now of a child, a young child. When a young child is frightened or upset, where do they go? Usually mama, right? Come running to mama or daddy, right? Now, mom or dad may not be able to fix what's wrong, but the child just wants to be close. The child just wants to be there, and that's enough. The child also imitates. We know this. We know this for sure. That's why it's so important for us to watch what we say and do around a child, right? They always seem to pick up that one word that we let slip, and then they say it to everybody. They say it. Well, friends, we are all children of the Heavenly Father, and we should be like that with him, that child who runs to him to be close. We've been grafted onto the vine through baptism, as real and bona fide sons and daughters of God through Jesus, our head. And as disciples of Jesus, Jesus calls us to love as he loved. And without exception, all true love involves sacrifice. We know that too. If you and I in this world do not reflect the real sacrificial love of Jesus, is it any wonder that the world doesn't recognize us sometimes as his disciples. I've asked before, do people even know that we are Christian, much less Catholic, and where we are working, where we are having our fun? If we don't reflect the real sacrificing love of Jesus, is it any wonder that the world doesn't recognize us as his disciples? We must do that. And you see, your life is not your own. It has been bought at a precious price. It is a gift from God. None of us made ourselves. And Jesus chose you as his disciple. You were baptized because he chose you first. He wanted you to be baptized, but then so that you could live your life for others, to be a man for others, to be a woman for others, as a reflection of his own sacrificial love. And you and I will never find meaning in life if we keep making it all about ourselves. So don't hold back. Imitate Jesus. Think of the Eucharist. He gives it all, body, blood, soul, and divinity, all of it, so that we can have grace. He has shown us the way, and he has promised to give us the strength and the grace to do it. But first and foremost, each one of us has this morning to make a firm decision to have one goal in life, to love him or not. There is no middle ground with love. To take up the difficult but sure path of knowing and loving and following Jesus because we love him, we want to be close to him, to do what he does, to say what he says. Only then will we have an answer for the world when they say they don't see much Christ in us. Because only then will we, Christian disciples, truly become like Christ. We must love like Jesus loves. Then we can become truly the light of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.